Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm your host, Catherine Resendez. Thank you for tuning in. That was a rather long introduction, but a beautiful song by Chris Tomlin. Now let's have a scripture verse. One of my favorites is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and that talks about the grace and mercy of God, the throne of grace. And this show is all about the grace and mercy the salvation, the forgiveness of God, and how he is a loving God, and he never gives up on us. He's the God of another chance, and many, many new chances. He gives us a fresh start every day, and we should thank him for every new day, for every moment. So in Hebrews 4:16, the Lord actually tells us that we should come boldly, or we should come with confidence to approach the throne of grace with confidence. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. So in whatever circumstance or situation we find ourselves, whatever we're struggling with, we can always come to the Lord and ask for help. And we don't have to be afraid to ask. We don't have to come begging. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, he welcomes us, God welcomes us into his family as children of God, as heirs to the kingdom with Christ Jesus. And so he's as our loving Heavenly Father, he is our provider and our protector as well as our creator, and he wants to give us good things. He wants to provide for everything that we need. Salvation comes only from one place, from the Lord. It's a gift, a free gift. He tells us there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. We are saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God, through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. He gives us so many good gifts, so many things, and so many times we don't even see it. We don't recognize those things many times, and probably because much of the time we may be in confusion, in despair, we may be in such a state that we're just not concentrating, focusing, we're not thinking clearly. But when we look back, we can see that was the hand of God working in our lives so much of the time. The Lord calls us to glorify him, to live our lives, to bring glory and praise to his name. He wants to help us. He says, when the righteous cry out, he hears them. He calls us righteous. Not that we are righteous in ourselves, because of course we are not as humans. We are sinners. We always will be as long as we are on this earth. But when we receive him, when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, when we confess our sins and repent of them and ask him to be Lord and Savior of our lives, when we acknowledge him as Lord and Master and rule of our lives, we share in the righteousness of Christ. God declares us no longer guilty. He wipes away our sins and our guilt and our shame. We don't have to carry that on our backs anymore. He tells us to lay our burdens down, to give them to him. He calls us to come to him and rest in him, to lay down our heavy yokes, our heavy burdens, and take up his yoke, which is light and easy to bear. He tells us to learn from him, to find rest in him. And he does say that we are the righteousness of Christ, that he makes us the righteousness of Christ. So we should come without carrying our guilt and our shame. When we confess our sins, he forgives us, and he doesn't hold our sins against us. So we don't have to carry the guilt and shame anymore, and we can come freely to ask him for help. My guest tonight is going to be a new friend, a pastor. Larry Atkins is his name. And he has a ministry in which he invites people to share their testimonies for Christ, to share their testimonies for God. He's going to share with us the story of how the Lord called him to be a pastor, how the Lord changed his life for the better, and has blessed him over and over again, and is still blessing him now, even as we speak. How the Lord is blessing him today. and has totally changed his life. He has strengthened his faith, and he has a very strong faith. I've seen that for myself. So he's going to be calling in a little later, and will share with us about that in just a few minutes. And again, his name is Larry Atkins. Again, he has a ministry which he calls Tell Your Testimony for Him. And I will let him talk more about that. But when we give our giving our testimony, actually our testimony is the story, simply the story of how we came to know the Lord, what our life was like before we knew the Lord, how he changed us, what he did for us, and what our life is like now. And we can share that with other people to encourage them. So many times we find ourselves in different situations, and sometimes they're very happy. Sometimes they're very difficult. Sometimes they're horrible situations. Sometimes we find ourselves suffering great loss. Maybe we've lost a loved one. Someone in the family has died. Someone we loved, maybe someone we depended on. Many people have lost children, which is extremely difficult to deal with. All of us will die one day. But it's very difficult to see someone who was young and healthy to die suddenly, or to see someone who was young, whether young or old, but it's very sad, much sadder it seems, to see a young person die, unable to live a full life or a long life and experience all the different pleasures and joys in life that are usually available to most people. Sometimes people take their own lives. If you are in a situation that you are, where you find yourself in despair, if you are depressed or saddened or feeling hopeless about a certain situation and you want out of that situation, if you think that life is no longer worth living, please don't do anything to harm yourself or anyone else, to end your own life. You are precious to God. The Lord loves every one of us. He hates our sin, but he loves us, and nothing is impossible for him. He tells us in the Bible that those things that are impossible for man are possible with God. Tell him what is on your mind, what is on your heart. God can give you the strength, the courage, the stamina, whatever it is that you need to hold on and to get help. Come to him and ask for help. Tell the Lord what your problems are. Call on the name of Jesus and ask for help. Don't end your own life. Don't run away. Moving or traveling, sometimes moving to a different environment can be very helpful. But if we try to outrun our problems, we can't do that. We need to make changes, and the Lord can change us from the inside out. When we are helpless to change ourselves, the Lord is able to change us. So don't think that things are hopeless. Speak to someone you can trust. Find someone you can trust in. If you don't have a family member, a friend, or a neighbor, a coworker, someone at school, if you don't know of anyone that you can trust, go to a church, go to a doctor, seek out someone at church or at a hospital, a medical facility, an emergency room. Go and ask for help of someone who is able to give you help. Don't go to people who will lure you into bad habits or temptations, or who will encourage you in bad habits. Please reach out for help. If nothing else, if you don't know where to call, try calling 211 in the Los Angeles area. That's an emergency number. Just dial 211. That's the LA County Emergency Helpline. You can ask for other phone numbers where you can get help. You can ask for the crisis intervention. You can ask for the suicide prevention line. You can ask for the rape hotline if you've been sexually assaulted, if you've been raped. If you've been a victim of domestic violence, you can also ask for help there. You can also call the Sheepfold, which is a transitional home for women and children who have been victims of domestic violence, and you can reach them, the Sheepfold, and yes, it spells just the way it sounds, like a sheep, S-H-E-E-P. The area code is 877, and so it's a 10-digit number. You would dial 877 S-H-E-E-P-F-O-L-D. That's 877. Of course, you would dial 1-877 S-H-E-E-P-F-O-L-D for the Sheepfold. Or dial the 3-digit number for the Los Angeles County Helpline, which is 211, and ask for information, ask for help. They can also give you information for other counties. If you live in Orange County or whichever county you find yourself in, you can ask for information for the other counties and they should be able to help you. You can also call places like the Union Rescue Mission in downtown Los Angeles. You should be able to get that number from the 211 information number as well. So for whatever it is that you need help for, please seek help. God loves you and wants to provide for your needs. Call on him. Talk to him. Praying to God is talking to him from your heart. I hope you'll, if you have a Bible, I hope you'll take it out and follow along with us later in the program. We'll be reading from the Bible today. And I want to remind you to call on the Lord for whatever you need and thank him. Thank him that he is there for us. Again, my guest tonight is going to be Pastor Larry Atkins. Hello, Larry. Are you there? Larry? Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Pastor Larry, how are you?
I'm
doing great. Thank you so much for calling in. I was just telling the audience, whoever might be listening, that you're going to share with us tonight something of your story of how you came to know the Lord, how he called you to become a pastor, how he has blessed you and changed your life, and that he's still blessing you even now. So
no
I'd like to ask you, Mr. Larry, would you tell us just a little about yourself first, and I'll have you share as little or as much as you would like to share with whoever might be listening to give them hope for the future. And glorify the Lord by telling them how the Lord has blessed you. So first question, how did you come to know the Lord?
I came to know the Lord many, many years ago. My grandmother always prayed over me when I was out there in the streets in Compton, California. But I had a God-fearing grandmother. She just worshiped God. That's all she did, and she just always prayed for God to pour blessings up over me. She used to always try to get me to go to church. Little by little, you know, I started going, and I started to hear. I didn't know him, but I knew of him at that time, and I went to church with my grandmother at a young age. And I was always curious because it seemed like when I was in church, the pastor used to always talk to me for some reason. It used to be like every time I go to church, it seemed like everything he said was related to me. But then I realized that's what you call the Holy Spirit. And when I really start calling up on God is when I start going through a lot of suffering, a lot of drama in my life.
Isn't it how it usually is? We find ourselves calling on the Lord when we're in trouble. And it's a good thing to do because he tells us that's what we should do, that he is there for us. And
yes,
I'll let you continue now. Please go on.
No. You're definitely right, because when it, you know, a lot of people don't. Well, I didn't know. I can't say everybody else, but I didn't know that at that time. You know, when I was going through my trials and my tribulations and growing up, you know, it was just strengthening me, honestly, and it was getting for me. That was His way to me, for me to get to know Him, because the more I was in trouble, the more I called up on Him, and the more I wanted to know about Him, you know, because when I was doing good and everything was all right, I didn't really, at the time, I didn't really call upon Him, I didn't pray for Him, I mean, I didn't, nothing, but as I got in trouble, I called on Him, I prayed for Him, I told Him many a times, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll change, I do this, so it's just like in Job, you know, it's just like the story of Job, you know, where the devil, it's just like when he went to heaven and God asked him where he'd been, you know, and he told God that Job was going to dishonor him and pretty much just put him to the side. And God said, just don't kill him. That's our life. The devil tried to attack us, but
yes,
he's not going to kill
absolutely.
Us.
And you are buying it to it now. And I will tell you in just a minute what I mean by that, but I'll let you go ahead a little longer. Please continue, because you're
yes.
proving it right now. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Yeah. It's just like, we get attacked. You know, we get attacked, but God already knew. He already knew. Just like in Job, He said, no. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. Larry is not going to turn away from me. Larry is going to get stronger. You know, so the more you attack him, the more he's going to get stronger with me, because he's going to want to know me, because he know I am the light and the true light. And the devil tried many ways. You know, I'll just give you a little quick example. Like, I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been poisoned. I've been halfway beat to death in the hospital with the nurse. When I woke up, the nurse is sitting over me with tears in her eyes saying, how can someone do this to a human being? You know, I've been in a hospital. I've been in a hospital for attempted suicide over 10 times. You know, over 10 times. I lost my mother, my father, my sister, my grandmother. I lost three of my best friends. I'm Job. I'm Job, and I went through that. I still go through my trials, but I know the light. The light shines. And when I called when I was young, when my grandmother planted that seed in me as a young age, I didn't know that it was a seed planted in me, because as I grew older, I started calling upon God more, and I started seeing like my life start changing in a way. Like, people, I could be in a store. I don't even know these people. I could just be in a store and somebody would tap me and say, Jesus love you. But at first I'm like, man, this person crazy. And then I go somewhere else. I go somewhere else, and then all of a sudden, somebody asks me, are you a Christian? Now, this is me still at the time young, living in the darkness. But God was calling me when I was young, calling me, giving me signs, but I kept ignoring these signs. And then I prayed when I was like 26. I prayed. I said, God, you know, because I kept having problems with girls and stuff like that. And I prayed. And I said, God, man, if you give me a virgin or this, or someone that's going to love me for who I am and this and this and this, man, I change. That was like at the age of 26. And all of a sudden, I went to my mother's house one day. I still remember because I had some cowboy boots on with a vest with some glasses.
Was that the vest that you were wearing on church Sunday?
No. This was back in the days, man. This was back
I'm
in the 90s.
You, of course.
Oh.
And I'm sorry. This was... But go ahead, please.
But what's funny, though, it was brown, the same color. But it wasn't that one. But that's
now I know
you
like brown.
Yeah, that's crazy you said that, because it was brown. And so I still remember it's like clear. I was standing in the front. I was standing in the front of my mother's apartment. But don't, you know, let me just go back a little. I used to be an alcoholic. So I was driving around with a gallon of wine, drinking it. A gallon. No, a jug. No, I had a jug of wine, the big one. And I'm driving around.
Well, I have it in my mind of you. I didn't know that part about you. But go ahead, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a jug of wine driving, you know, just didn't care about the people that I can get drunk and accidentally kill somebody or, you know, it's just how sick your mind is when you're not with the Lord. You're not thinking clear. But to make a long story short, God said, this is the time when I'm going to start changing him. It's going to take time, but I'm going to change him through this. So he gave a car full of girls in the car. Not because she was the driver. It's just because I focused on her. It was my wife at that time. It was my girlfriend. So I said, how can I approach her? Usually you ask a girl, oh, hey, can I have your number? Blah, blah, blah. God said, no, give her your number. And you tell her if she want to talk to you, to call you, not because you're important and not because of this. It's to show her that you really like her. So I gave her my number and I said, you know what? I don't want your number. I want you to think about it before you call me, but I like to talk to you. And it took her 2 weeks. I was going crazy. I'm going, Larry, what?
Well, now you know how the girls feel.
Exactly, because I was one of them. I'm like, what? Larry, you crazy? You were supposed to get her number. Man, imagine if she lost her number and blah, blah, blah. I'm going crazy. So 2 weeks.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Pastor Larry.
Yeah. Like,
now you have to. Please continue.
No. Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
No, I said no. Please, now you have to share it. You have to finish the story. So what happened with the first? If you would like to share that.
No, I can share it. Don't worry about it. So 2 weeks, I'm going crazy. Like, Larry, man, you messed up a good one. She looked nice. You know, she seemed like a good woman. And you messed it up. Couldn't even get her number. You trying to be all fly. So 2 weeks went by. I'm stressed out. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call. But don't forget, at this time, I still, even though I was trying to talk to her, but you remember, I prayed for God to give me, you know, a decent girl. The reason why I said that, because all these other girls I was talking to was going out with my boys, my friends, you know, and my cousins and stuff. And so I knew other girls. So she called me up and said, can I speak to Larry, please? I said, speaking. Who is this? And she go, oh, you don't know who you gave your number to?
Oh.
Now, don't forget, this is 2 weeks went by.
Yes.
And 2 weeks went by. Now we're playing the you forgot who you gave your number to game. And don't forget, maybe like a couple of days ago, I was talking to somebody else. And I'm like, give me a hint. And then she was like, and then she told me, well, I guess if you don't know who this is, she says, well, I guess if you don't know who this is, I guess you don't need to talk to me, right? And I go, and I noticed her voice. I said, Lydia. She was like, yeah, but I can see you talking to a lot of girls. I'm like, nah. But to make a long story short, I had a Pontiac, and as soon as I met her, the transmission broke.
Oh, really?
And she lived all the way in Corona. So
wow.
I really wanted to impress her. So guess what Larry do all the way from Lakewood? Larry jump on the bus all the way from Lakewood and ride all the way to Corona to go visit her.
Oh, my.
Yeah, just to impress her. But I guess I impressed her so well that her father said, no, you need to take this boy back home in the car. You need to take him home in the car because something's wrong with him, because I wouldn't even do that for your mama. So I did that a couple of times, and I knew I met an angel because I knew I met an angel because of what my life was, of all the darkness I had. And I did some stuff back in my days that caught up with me, and I ended up going to prison. And this is right when I met her. Now, this is going to be a good story right here. When I met her. This is a...
Let me just interject here. This is... And I wanted to remind you again, you only need to share as much as you would like to share. And I know you told me that you wouldn't mind sharing this. And I want to thank you for that, because I'm sure it will help someone else who is listening.
That's all.
And give hope. And as you reminded me, these are not our testimonies. They're God's testimonies. They're about what God has done for us. And I wanted to tell you, when you mentioned Job, I wanted to tell you, you are testifying of the Holy Spirit now, and I would tell you in a few minutes why I said that. And it was because Job is the section of Scripture I want to read tonight. I want to read from Job, and I have my hands on it. I was turning the pages in the book of...
Wow.
And you know that you and I did not discuss, I did not tell you what I was going to read from tonight, but we got it as my witness.
No.
I opened
God
to the
is
book
my
of,
witness.
Had it in my lap. I have it sitting in my lap here. And so you are testifying to the Holy Spirit. And so that's another example of how the Lord works in our lives and blesses us. And so without interrupting your story anymore, I will let you continue, but I wanted to bring that point. And I want to encourage people again. You're hearing Pastor Larry's testimony. You've heard him say that he attempted suicide more than 10 times. And I was speaking just before you called in, Pastor Larry, encouraging people that the Lord loves all of us. He hates our sin, but he loves us. He wants to take care of us. And he's waiting for us to call on him. And I was speaking to anyone who might be feeling hopeless and helpless about life, to anyone who might be contemplating taking their own life, hurting themselves or someone else. And I was encouraging people not to do that, but to call on God and ask him for help. Because no matter how impossible the situation seems to be, it is not impossible for the Lord. And so I want to say once again, if you don't know where else to go, if you don't have a family member, a relative someplace outside your home, a friend, a neighbor, if you don't belong to a church, if you don't have a pastor, go to a church and ask for help. Go to a hospital. Go to an emergency room and ask for help. Tell them you're having suicidal thoughts, but you want help. Most of all, call on the name of Jesus. Tell him how you're feeling.
Amen.
He knows already.
Amen.
But he wants us to tell him what's in our hearts, what we're feeling, what we need, because he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have two-way communication with us. Prayer is communicating with the Lord. And so I encourage you again, anyone who's listening who may be considering attempting to take your own life or someone else's, are you thinking of taking someone else's life? Call on the name of the Lord. Ask him to forgive you for your sins and to heal you. He will bless you. He will forgive your sins, and he will not hold them against you. He may not take away all of the problems from your life, but he will help you. Everything may not become a bed of roses overnight, but if you will allow the Lord to take control of your life, he won't do it against your will, because he has given each of us free will. But if you call
Amen.
On him, he will reach out to you. Will you call on Jesus and ask him for help? Tell him, as Pastor Larry did, as we all do when we reach that point where we are broken and we have no place else to turn, and we finally call on the Lord when we're in trouble. Don't feel ashamed. It happens to everyone. When do we call on the Lord? Not when we're having fun, not when everything is okay. And during those times, we don't think we need God. It's when we are in trouble, when we're in pain and suffering, as Pastor Larry said, that's when we call on the Lord. And he's always waiting, and he's there to help you. So I encourage you to do that. And I encourage you also later to listen in while we share the gospel. And now I'm going to let Pastor Larry continue with his testimony, his story he was about to tell us about going
Amen.
To prison, just seeing this precious woman that the Lord brought to him. So please continue, Pastor Larry.
Amen. Well, one thing I would like to say for the audience that's listening in, that all the times where I was in a situation where I felt that it was pressure, it felt like I had pressure build up on me everywhere. Like, people didn't want me. My own mother told me I was a mistake. I shouldn't even been born. You know, my family always said, why is he here? He's going to mess everything up. My life was just, it was just darkness and sadness. But the thing is, I want you guys to listen to, God said, he is the true light. And with him, you will never be in the darkness ever again. You just have to call upon his name. Because in James chapter 5, verse 13 to 16, he says, if anyone's in trouble, call upon the Lord's, pray upon the Lord's name. And he will be there for you. He will heal you. He will forgive your sins. He will heal you from the sickness. And the Lord will never go back on his word. If he say it, it's solid as a rock. But don't take this pain, this darkness, and keep it for yourself, and you choosing to make your own decisions in life on how it will make it better, because committing suicide, you will no longer be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot kill yourself and go to heaven. So that's a no-no to begin with. So if you ever is sick, if you ever sick, and if you ever need, if you're ever thinking about suicide or hurting anyone, I feel that you just need to get up on your knees and call upon God and ask God right then and there to enter into your life and to cleanse you from any sickness and any disease. And he will move immediately, because that's what he's waiting for you to call upon him. Now, let me finish the story about me going to prison. So what happened was, I just met my girlfriend at the time. She wasn't my wife. And I was on the run for 6 years. 6 years running from the police. And out of 6 years, they finally caught up with me. And I ended up going to prison, and I never been to prison, so I didn't know how it worked. I didn't know how prison worked. I thought I'd get a letter, and she gonna write me a letter. So when I was out on the street, she used to, you know, she loved me, and I knew she did. But when I got in prison, it took almost 6 months to even get a letter from her, because they kept taking me from building to building to building to building to building, from different prisons to different prisons to jail, from different prisons. So every time her letter come to the prison that I'm at, they move me to another one. I never got her letter. So I got so much anger inside of me one day. I still remember, it was during TV time when we had, and I grabbed the Bible, took the Bible and ripped the Bible up, and I had so much anger. And one guy, big guy too, he wasn't a little guy, he came down there, and he looked at me. He was like, man, well, first of all, he looked down at me because he was bigger than me. He looked down at me and he was like, you just ripped up the Bible? I don't know what kind of look I gave him. I had so much anger in me. I don't know what kind of look I gave him. But I looked at him dead in his eyes. And I told him, and this is 666, what you going to do? He looked at me. He backed away. He backed away from me. And he said, this is what he said, God will punish you more than what I will do. And walked away. And do you know what happened? Do you know what happened the next day? The next day! Do you know what happened?
I'm waiting
on... They called my name.
Oh.
I had a stack of mail.
Mail call.
All her letters came at one time.
How many?
Now, it was about like 15, 16, or probably more.
Wow.
It was a lot of them. She drew hearts in every letter. I love you. I miss you. And not only that, I called on her voicemail and left a bad message on her voicemail.
Did you really?
Yes, because I didn't know. Because I tried to call her, but I guess she was at work, and I got mad thinking she not trying to answer my call. So I left a bad message on her voicemail. But when I got them letters, my heart just dropped, and I knew it was from God. I knew 100% God did that. I knew it.
And did you get on your knees and,
yes.
and confess
yes.
to God and ask give you?
Trust me. I did way more than that, man. I went to the dude that was the next day. I went to the guy that came to me. I said, man, I was going crazy, man, my girl. And he was like, man, I don't care what's going on. You never rip a Bible up. I'm like, man, I'm sorry, man. You know, I apologize. He's like, no, you need to apologize to God because he's the one that know what you did. Don't come apologizing to me. And I'm like, man, the whole day I just start praying. And from that time, I read the Bible every day.
Oh, wow.
I started reading the Bible every day. And at that time, I wasn't a good reader. Wasn't a good speller. Pretty much, I didn't really know what I was doing. But the words was coming out so clear in there. The words was coming out clear, and it was touching my heart, the stories that I was reading. And it was reminding me of stuff that I'm going through. And I'm like, man, this is a book. Man, this is a book. Peter been through what I've been through. Man, all these guys been through what I'm going through. So I started to like the book. And that was the only book I kept. Well, honestly, at that time, that's the only book for some reason I couldn't read. Anything else I couldn't do. But that was the only one. And that right there changed my life. When I got out, I still was a little knucklehead.
How long were you there, Larry?
I was from the county to prison almost about 2 years.
But, then... I wanted to ask you to give us very, very quickly how your life has changed now, and if you will wrap it up for us so that we can have the Bible reading, because we're coming close to the end of the show. I wish we had more time here tonight to let you share more with us. So hopefully, but I believe we'll get another chance to do this in the future. Don't you think so?
Oh, yes. No, oh, yes.
Yes, we will, won't we? Well, okay, very good. And so now...
okay, I'll wrap it up.
Take a few minutes and tell us... So we know you were released from prison, and so we know now, because you've mentioned to us that she became your wife and you have a family. So
two beautiful daughters.
Yes, and two beautiful daughters, and you have such a beautiful family. And so I wonder, would you tell us, we've heard how dark and how bad your life was before. Will you tell us a little about how good it is now and what is the most important thing you want to share about what the Lord is doing in your life now?
The Lord called me, it was like a story. Where the day I went to church, I met a guy named Noel G. He's an actor, and he invited me to a church. But I had so many problems with church and different pastors and all this kind of stuff. So I said, "Oh man," because they was having like a Christian rap concert, and he invited me there. I said, "Man, you know what? If I got to go to a church, I need to go get me a beer." So I went out and got me a beer and went to church. And
did you really?
Oh, yes. But you got to understand something. This is going to show you the power of God, though. I'm going to wrap it up, but this is going to show you the power of God.
I believe
it
you,
was a
and
Tuesday.
I'm waiting.
It was a Tuesday night. That Tuesday, I smoked weed, and I was drinking. Two bad addictions that I had. Smoked weed and was drinking. Didn't have no clue what was going to happen. I just said, you know what, I go there because I want to be a groupie hanging out with an actor. Oh, well, you know, at least I can take a couple of pictures with him. But that's the day my life changed. I walked up. I went to the church. They was the pastor was preaching. The music was on. They called people up to the front. I kept sitting down. My heart kept pounding. It was like, I know someone in here right now that want to get up. Don't worry about who's here. Don't worry about who's here. Just come to the front and give yourself to God. And I'm like, man, I'm new here. You know, the people are going to look at me. So I just went on ahead and did it. Went to the front, prayed, thought that was it. So I did that many, many, many times at different churches. So I came home. So that same day, I went out and got me an 18-pack of beer because the next day was going to be Wednesday, and I was going to start my old habits again. So I got out of church, went and got me an 18-pack of beer, put it in my refrigerator so I can continue to keep doing what I normally do. But I woke up that Wednesday, and I didn't have no craving no more.
Oh.
I didn't have no craving for weed. I ended up taking the weed, flushing it in the toilet. My beer I gave to the neighbor, and I never looked back again. I stopped cursing, stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. A little bit after that, I was wearing 230 pounds. I went from 230, not even trying to lose weight. I went from 230 to 185. The owner of my company, everybody thought I had cancer. They thought I was sick. They was like, you need to go to the hospital. This is not normal. Right after that, when I started doing that, I got a building. I was fasting for a building and didn't even know it. And right after that, Pastor...
Please explain by what you mean by you got a building and what was the building for.
A ministry. It was a ministry. It was a ministry. But it was an internet radio ministry that God called me for. But I didn't know what it was for because I was doing a little radio thing out of my house. And I'm like, okay, but I had a company. I had a company since 2000 to 2015 that God told me to sell my company to get the building, And I didn't know why I was going to get the building for, and I got the building. And in that building, I didn't have no signs, no church, no ministry, no zero. It was just an empty building with me in there. People was coming from the street, walking in, asking me, is this a church? What is this? And I told them, I don't know, whatever you want it to be. Because I didn't even know what it was at the time. And but sick people kept coming in there, and I started praying for them. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Linda got in contact with me, and she wanted to ordain me to be a pastor. And I'm like, I'm not no pastor. No. I kept fighting and telling her, no, I don't want to be a pastor. And she said, no, God
okay.
is putting it into my heart.
So this is how
telling.
He called you. It was news to
yes.
you. Everyone else knew that this was supposed to be something of God. And the Lord revealed it to you by sending people to ask you, is this a church? Is it a ministry? But you were clueless,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Until the Lord revealed it to you through these people who were coming, looking for a church, looking for a ministry, looking for help. There were people who needed help and needed someone to pray for them. You were there, but didn't know why you were there. But the Lord did, and so the Holy Spirit was working there again, wasn't he?
And my wife have a piece of
awesome.
Paper, because I was going to give up the ministry three times. And the third time, my wife came with a piece of paper and said, do you really want to give up this ministry? And she came with a piece of paper full with names that people came and gave their life to God that was on that piece of paper. People got away from drugs and alcohol through that ministry. And right now, today, right now, today, and I ended with this, God moved us from a smaller build, from a small building because of faith and belief in Him. He moved us to a bigger building.
Yes, and I know you are moving into there as we speak. You're in transition. So I'd like to invite you to continue this at another time and tell us from this point, the next time, to share
that. Yes, I'll be honored to.
Thank you so much. And now, if you have time, would you like to listen while I share the gospel message? Or do you need to go? I understand you're busy. I know you're on a very busy schedule. I have a few minutes left to share the gospel message. Would you like to hold on while I do that, while I read it, or do you need to go?
No, go ahead.
Please. All right. Thank you very much, then. And as I said, I have my Bible open in my lap, the book of Job. And so I'm going to say a short prayer. I'll try to make it shorter than usual. Dear Lord, I ask you to please empty us of ourselves here and fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your love, your peace, and your joy, so that there is no place left in us for Satan, so that we cannot give place to the devil. Please help us understand your Holy Scriptures, Lord, and apply them to our daily lives.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Name. So if you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with us. I'm reading from the first chapter of Job. And here it is. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the east. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." It regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil." So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has, and on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Hold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." He was still speaking. Another also came and said, sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from a wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. If you do not know the Lord, not to say that any of us will ever be as faithful to God as Job was, although we should all be, in these last couple of minutes, I'd like to invite you to pray to receive the Lord so that you can have the assurance that you will be with him in heaven, no matter what is going on in your life now. As Pastor has testified,
amen,
the Lord is for you. I invite you to say this short prayer to receive the Lord, if you will. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of them, understanding that to repent means to make a change. I'm willing to change from my old way of life, to leave it behind, and to turn to you, Lord. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Trust by faith. Thank you. I trust by faith, Lord Jesus, that you are God, that you died to pay the debt for my sins on that cross, and that you rose again from the dead, and by your resurrection, you've given me and all mankind the hope of eternal life, and I want to be with you in heaven. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, Lord. Change me from the inside out. I want to be for you. If you pray that prayer from your heart, you can know that you will be with God in heaven. In these last few moments, what you need to do, I want to join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Read the Bible. If you don't have one, ask for one at church. One. Read the Word of God every day and do what it says. Join a Bible study with other people who are... We have other people in church who are worshiping and praising God. Become a family member in the church, in the house of God. Pray to God every day. Tell other people about him and tell them what you have done. And as the Lord changes your life, tell them how he's blessing you. Tell other people to call in the name of Jesus, that it's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift, so that they can be saved and be in heaven one day too. The Lord came to make disciples, to tell others about Jesus. Until next time, I hope that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Sword and Shield Show. Thank you, Pastor Larry Atkins, for being my guest. May God bless you all, and good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God, may God bless you too. Good night.